The OTB Podcast Network. With Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural, protein-powered chicken bites.
Bang on 7:30, it's Wednesday morning. You're very welcome along to OTB AM. It's Ger Gilroy and Owen Sheehan with you all the way through until 10 this morning. We'd love to hear from you. 087-9180-180 is the number. And Owen, it's Paul Pogba's world and we just live in it.
It seems that way. Manchester United, top of the table. We warned of this happening last week, that this new spectrum of misery for non-Manchester United fans could actually come true. If they got anything against Burnley and they went and got the full 3 points, where we're now entering into a phase where it's going to be either themselves or Liverpool, who probably end this weekend on top of the table. There is going to be a proper head-to-head between them over the next few weeks at the very least. And then more than likely Manchester City will nip on through to actually win the Premier League title. But Paul Pogba, yeah, really good yesterday. It's hard to know sometimes what actually has happened here, whether Manchester United have got much better because Paul Pogba has pulled up his socks and got the best out of himself, or Paul Pogba is actually just playing really well because he realises he's now playing in a really good team. Mm. And maybe this is part of the mystery of Pogba over the last few years, where people have been like, why did he get such good form out of himself while playing for France in that World Cup that they won? Well, the answer is probably in that question. And why did he get so much good form out of himself while playing for a Juventus team that were consistently challenging for titles? Well, the answer is probably in that question as well, that maybe for peak Paul Pogba, he needs to be playing in a team that is winning stuff. And he looks around him and looks at a dressing room that says to him that is worthy of him as a superstar, that he thinks he is and that he fully believes he is.
He sniffs they have a team, was what Gary Neville said last night. I've been critical of him over the last number of years, but his form over the last while has been really good. He sniffs that we have a team now, or that he has a team. It was like, well, you know, I mean, it's damning with faint praise a little bit. It's definitely questioning his professionalism, right?
Yeah, like I guess it is, but so I guess the counter argument to all of this would be that we're having this conversation after he scored the winner away to Burnley. If you're questioning the professionalism of a footballer and if you're saying, well, this guy likes it easy,
on he only Tuesday plays night, when... Owen, don't forget it was a Tuesday night.
Exactly. It was not raining, was the only thing. If there had just been a little bit of drizzle, this would have been the perfect analogy for Paul Pogba's fans to actually hold up as a reason why he's one of the greatest players in the world. Like this is, it does actually, it does fly in the face of what we've just said about this idea that when the chips are up, that's when Paul Pogba gets the best out of himself. And I don't know, away to Burnley, he was really, really good. Now, I do think Burnley play in a way where a midfielder like that can almost play in front of the defence, if they're happy enough to allow midfielders to be on the ball, to have plenty of possession, as long as they're not making that final pass. Now, it wasn't just a goal. Paul Pogba did pick out a few passes in the final third last night, which were world-class. And you thought to yourself, well, this is exactly how you unlock a Burnley defence. And that requires perseverance. That requires a good mentality going into that game. So, like, I'm somewhere in the middle on this. Or like, where what the answer to that question is. Like, which came first? The Pogba form or the United form?
The United form came first because he was in and out of the team. Remember, he wasn't getting picked. So the United form definitely came first. And it was like a harsh lesson that he was being taught by being dropped for some big games. And then his form came back, which was interesting. Well, sorry, his agent told the world he's leaving. And then his form came back.
Yeah.
You know, so like there's a cocktail of influence here happening.
But then there's also the fact that Manchester United's form has been a little bit like a seesaw in recent weeks. Like, they have played brilliant football over the last few months, but over the last few weeks, they have at times been a little bit suspect, where you think to yourself, they're getting the results, but the performance perhaps isn't actually matching it, which of course is a hallmark of title challengers. And what has actually happened then is that Paul Pogba has been the ace that's come out of the pack to actually bring them back to form when Fernandes has perhaps not had a great couple of weeks. Like, that's the sort of thing that he's bringing to the team. So I don't know. I think this is like hugely encouraging to have a player of his quality playing possibly the best football that he's ever played at this club. And I think it's something that gives him a real edge going into this title challenge. And
yeah, it's unbelievable. It's an unbelievable boon. Whatever cocktail of events have transpired to make Paul Pogba again is like, wow. I mean, look how good a footballer he is. This is why people bang on about him. This is why people are so upset when he doesn't do this week in, week out. It's because he can do this week in, week out. He can influence the biggest game of the season for Manchester United, because going top of the table was at stake, right? Like, there will be bigger games where they play Liverpool. There will be more difficult games, where they're playing against Manchester City. But when the the job needed to be done to get them top of the table, he stood up and played his best game of the season for them so far. And, like, you know, this is why they're actually going to get their money back on him. He's going to go on a run now, you would expect, where he might score a free kick or two. They'll, you would think, do very well over the next 2 months. And after that, you know, it's game on. So, I don't know, I'd say Manchester United fans are absolutely purring this morning because that had banana skin all over it. And when the referee was about to send off the
Luke Shaw.
Before, the Luke Shaw thing, right? Like, I wonder how much this is Manchester United at the top of the table. That's their chance gone if I send this guy off, is in the referee's head. I do wonder if the referees are all in their own heads now about red cards and penalties. Robbie Brady was, whose name I couldn't remember for a second there. Like, Robbie Brady was very, 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 very lucky that Luke Shaw was also very, very, very lucky. But I think that's a red card, irrespective of whether or not you don't think the Burnley player got injured. It doesn't really matter. The studs go up, and once the studs go up, it's a leg breaker, and that, by the letter of law, should have been a red card. So, like, things are breaking their way.
Sorry to interrupt, but we're just getting hammered here in the chat by Tommy, our producer, telling us, don't forget how good Pogba was during the first couple of weeks of Solskjaer. 4 goals, 4 assists in the Premier League while Ole was caretaker manager. We should put that out. It's nonsense, apparently, what we just said about Pogba. In fairness, he was in the team of the season, PFA team of the season a couple of years ago. Maybe that was better form. Maybe this isn't the same level of form that he showed there. But this is certainly the most excited I've been while watching Paul Pogba, because he's playing for a team that can legitimately win the Premier League. When he had that vein of form for Manchester United, it looked like they might get a few upsets here and there in the Champions League and that they would snugly fit into second place in the Premier League. Whereas now he's actually playing really good football for a team that can actually challenge for the title. I do think that the story ends with Manchester City winning the league. I think that there is an inevitability about that, unfortunately, that maybe it's a one-all draw on Sunday and Manchester City just continue their form.
But I'm not sure about that.
There is enough quality. Like, if we're talking about this player who was not surplus to requirements, but had he been sold on the 1st of January, Manchester United fans would have been like, okay, well, that's maybe a problem out of the club.
Drive him to the airport was the sentiment.
Like, this is just a real bonus for them. Like, the cliche to pluck here would be like a new signing. But it does feel that this is just a new element that they have to their attack now. And, like, this midfield has been such a problem for them all season. Like, the amount of screen time that Donny van de Beek is getting now while on the subs bench is diminishing with every passing week, which can only be a positive for Solskjaer. This midfield is starting to figure itself out.
I don't think it is. I actually think that's interesting, because I thought the team selection last night was bizarre. I've got to say, I
Why?
Well, because Matic and Pogba and Bruno, their best player in recent weeks has been McTominay. So maybe he's being rested. There's a strong chance he's being rested for the game against Liverpool and he comes back. And also, playing that attacking quartet, maybe they're going to try that against Liverpool, and there's something there that's going to make that look like it's a good idea. But I don't think it works at the moment. It would have been much more interesting for me to see Cavani and Rashford given the opportunity to play together and bet into something and keep McTominay in the team and keep his legs there, because I don't know. You're saying Matic should be in the first team?
Well, I thought that in the circumstances of going to Burnley and knowing that Nemanja Matic is going to have the ball in the centre circle with no pressure on him quite a bit, like, I think that's okay. That's a position that you're okay with Nemanja Matic being in. Like, you want him at the back defending set pieces in a game against Burnley. I don't know. I didn't think it was a disastrous selection in midfield whatsoever.
I don't think he's got it right. I don't think the balance in that team last night was right. Like, you know, they still struggled to beat a mediocre enough Burnley side.
I think the attack is interesting. I think Cavani starting him against Burnley makes a lot of sense. Marcus Rashford playing on the right was obviously something that was constantly criticised throughout the match. He sets up Pogba's goal. It's his ball that creates the winning goal and gets the 3 points for the team. Anthony Martial on the left is always kind of like an interesting one, whether or not he should be playing more central. Can he get himself and Cavani playing in the same team? I'm not sure if that's going to be the case. And then I wonder, is this all having a knock-on impact on what Bruno Fernandes is bringing to the team? Or is it actually just Fernandes himself who's just going through a slight lull at the moment? I'm not sure. Like, there's every chance that Fernandes comes back on Sunday and bangs in a couple of goals against Liverpool and he's back. This, like, a lull is even a strong word to describe his form in recent weeks. It's just a couple of bad games. I think like they've got so many options at this point. I don't think the team selection last night was too bad.
All right, 7:40 this morning. We'd love to hear from you. 0879 180 180. How do you feel about the fact that Manchester United are officially back ahead of the game this weekend? Now let's go to Phil. Phil, good morning to you. How are you?
How are you doing? How are you getting on, Joe?
I think we can say without fear of contradiction that at least for January there's going to be a title race.
Absolutely, yeah. I think even before what happened last night or what happens on Sunday, there was a title race because Liverpool have obviously dropped points in the last few weeks. They've kind of given the chasing pack an opportunity. And Manchester City are the team for me that look like they're going to take advantage. Obviously, in action tonight, you'd have fancied them to beat Brighton. And then all of a sudden, they're just a point behind Liverpool. And, you know, they still have a game in hand as well. And, yeah, they're not conceding goals. But you look at the top of that table, we've definitely got ourselves a title race. It'll be interesting to see. We've played 17 games, what the table will look like after 27 games. But, yeah, Sunday's game is huge now. And, you know what? Hasn't been a great game in terms of a spectacle the last few seasons, but I think the fact that there's no crowd there might actually make this a really good game because obviously Liverpool could do with a win just to get back to winning ways, but also the fact that who they're playing. And it'd be interesting to see because United have gone to Anfield the last few seasons and have been complete underdogs because they've been in bad form. You think back to last season, actually. Last season's defeat at Anfield is United's last Premier League defeat away from home. So that'll tell you how much United have improved. But now United are looking at them, this going, we have a chance of winning the league. So it'll be interesting to see how they approach. I would imagine they'd be quite happy just to go there and set up to avoid defeat and see what they can get in the break.
Time for us to launch a brand new weekly slot on the show. It's the AM Agenda, where each week a guest will join us to put a topic or a story on the AM Agenda. We're going to let them come on and argue their case. Colin Bowie, good morning to you.
Sure, Owen. Morning.
What are you putting on the AM agenda this week?
Manchester United are top of the league in January for the first time since Alex Ferguson's last season, 8 years ago. As much as I love and adore Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, the player and person, and as much as I like Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, the manager, I do not believe still that Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is the right man to lead Manchester United. And I believe that the club made a massive error in not going for Maurizio Pochettino when Pochettino was available. And Owen texted me 24 hours ago to ask me a very simple question. What are my thoughts on United and Solskjaer? And like a DMC outside McDonald's at 3 a.m. pre-COVID, it all came out. And I was thinking, regardless of the result tonight against Burnley, I still think the same. And I'm delighted that United won last night because I think that strengthens the point that despite the fact that United are now 3 points clear at the time of speaking of their greatest rivals, I still think overall there could be a better person in charge and that person has now gone to Paris.
I'm reminded of a period of time where Jurgen Klopp was, you know, a rising manager in European football who many people thought was going to be very good, had already won a league, and Arsene Wenger was kind of winding down his time at the end of Arsenal and slowly deciding year on year about whether or not he would take another contract while the club finished fourth and won the FA Cup. And then slowly they were not finishing fourth anymore. And Klopp was available. And I think made come hither eyes at the Arsenal situation. It was like, yeah, well, that would be great. I mean, imagine me in London. Like, the whole of England would get behind me. But they did nothing. They sat in their hands. And then eventually, Liverpool were like, hang on a second, Jurgen Klopp's available. What? Let's get him. So this is a sliding doors moment for football clubs. You get the right person in, it's a transformative moment in a club's history, if they're the right person. But is Maurizio Pochettino, are you not making come the other eyes at the wrong person?
No, I don't think so. I mean, you have to go by, right, okay, Manchester United, the football club, obviously is an incredibly attractive proposition for pretty much every single manager in world football. But Manchester United, the team since 2013, isn't so much so. And I think that it would have been a brilliant next step for Pochettino because the one thing that's labelled against him is no trophy. Now, that will probably change in the next 6 months now that he's PSG manager. He's guaranteed something. And then by the time his 18-month contract expires, if he gets that far or if he doesn't extend it, then suddenly he might become available again for a Premier League club. And then he ticks every box because that's the only thing labelled against him, really. I mean, when Pochettino took over Spurs in 2014, they had, I think, was it two top four finishes in the Premier League before that? And in the subsequent five seasons under Pochettino, they reached the top four of the five times. And the only time they didn't was the first season, where they reached the League Cup final and lost to Jose Mourinho's Chelsea, who won the Premier League as well that season. But the next three seasons in a row, they finished third, second and third. And in the 2016-17 season, that second place was 86 points. So they were playing phenomenally well under Pochettino over a consistent period of time and improving from a club who were seen as the great entertainers of the Premier League, but always choked, never really did it when it mattered. And Pochettino basically made fans of football take Spurs seriously. And he developed the likes of Harry Kane and Dele Alli massively to the point where, you know, Harry Kane is the player he is now, largely thanks to Pochettino, I would say. And then in his final full season in charge, gets the club to the Champions League final. I mean, it's an incredible achievement when you look at it. And the thing with Pochettino is, and it's all about perception of football, because the last few months of Pochettino's reign, it just dwindled out and the players stopped listening to him, because he was in charge for a long time in the modern era, 5.5 years. And it is all about perception with this thing, because I would still see Pochettino's tenure as Spurs manager as hugely successful. Just like Jose Mourinho's tenure at Manchester United is seen as a huge failure, despite the fact that in his two full seasons, he won the Europa League, the League Cup, the Community Shield, and finished second behind Man City. And still the perception is, it's a total disaster. Wasn't going well for him at all. And it leaves me with Solskjaer. The thing with Solskjaer is, I think he's doing a really good job. I think he's doing the best he can. Like, United still don't have a director of football. I really think he's been let down by those above him. And you have to remember that when Solskjaer got this job in December 2018, he was brought in as a stopgap. It was a temporary appointment. He still had a contract at Molde. So everyone thought it was just going to be a short-term fix, because if you were a Liverpool or Manchester City fan back then, and if you are a Liverpool and Man City fan right now, you still want Solskjaer to be United manager. You want him to continue, because as much as he is improving it bit by bit, and United are a far cry from the team that Solskjaer took over, which is great, and that's all down to him. He's done really well in that regard. But there is a ceiling that I think Solskjaer is hitting at the moment. His head is squashed against that ceiling right now, as we speak right now, 3 points ahead of Liverpool in January.
Exactly. What a ceiling to have. Like, is Mauricio Pochettino going to come in and be 3 points clear of Liverpool midway through next season?
But it's January. I mean, Man City, again, at the time of speaking, have two games in hand. If they win both of those games, they'll go a point behind United. And you see, I'm really mindful not to come on and just Ole bash, because as Andy Mitten has already said this morning, everybody's doing that online. And it's not fair. And I do think he's doing a good job under circumstances, because when you go back to the start of October, the 4th of October, and that 6-1 humiliation against Tottenham, Jose Mourinho's Tottenham of all people, it's amazing to see where they've come since then. And even a month after that, there was another nadir in the 1-0 defeat at home to Arsenal, and then to lose to Istanbul Beşiktaş, which essentially cost United a place in a knockout stage of the Champions League. And everybody was calling for his head online anyway, like the vast majority of people. And it was the likes of Andy coming on with us and saying, no, give him time. Stay with him. He's doing a good job. And I agree with all of that. But what I disagree with is, what are we giving him time for? What's he going to win?
Well, he's going to develop into a manager who understands exactly how to manage at a super club, given that it's a peculiar, weird job that there is really no training for unless you've already managed a super club. And it turned out Mourinho and Van Gaal had done that, and that was no use, because the situation at United is slightly different, and it has its own unique texture. I want to just play you this in case anybody missed it. You mentioned Andy Mitten there. Let's have a look. Here's a taste of what he had to say earlier on this morning on OTBAM. Have a look.
And it's only 2 months ago that a huge number of Manchester United fans wanted the manager sacked. Maybe they should be a little bit more patient as well, because I don't think United will win the league this year. But just imagine if they did, and that some people who call themselves Manchester United fans are calling for the manager to be sacked. And I think if you're a supporter, you get behind the team. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is doing a good job. He's not won anything yet. Nobody's getting carried away, but he's doing a good job and should be given the time and support to continue doing so. He'll bring more players in. It's not likely in January, but he'll do it in the summer. And I think his recruitment so far has been good.
Have some bloody patience, Colm.
I have loads of patience. And I think Solskjaer, as I say, is doing a great job. But I don't know what Andy is waiting for. Because there's only two trophies that matter for Man United. It's the Premier League and the Champions League. Now, yeah, we're in a great position in the Premier League right now. I think it's a damning indictment of the rest of the Premier League that this United side are top by 3 points. But that is the case. We're some miles away from the Champions League. But it's proven that since Alex Ferguson left, the domestic cups are meaningless for those managers. Van Gaal got sacked on the same day he won the FA Cup. The League Cup meant nothing for Mourinho. Europa League meant nothing. And at the time, they thought, OK, this is the start of progression, of development. And a year later, United came second, and then it all went kaput. Where Solskjaer has these phases of like mind-boggling inconsistency. Like, the thing that rankles with me is that, you know, United could so easily have lost 1-0 to Burnley. And there'd be no rhyme or rhythm to it. Just as there isn't that they won the game. I mean, Ger, you yourself said this morning that you disagreed with his midfield lineup. And I got the tone from you that United won in spite of Solskjaer because of Paul Pogba. And I go back to it. If Solskjaer left United in the morning, what club would take him? You know, if you're Man City or Liverpool, you want him to stay as United manager. And again, I'm going back, like, Solskjaer, he won the league with the Man United reserves in 2010. He won back-to-back leagues with Molde in the Norwegian league. They've only won it twice since then, since 2011. Rosenberg have dominated it. And so his only really bad spell was with Cardiff in 2014. And that was a basket case. The ownership was driving the club to the ground, and Solskjaer suffered for that, and he had to go back to Molde to start again. But when Solskjaer was appointed as United manager, it was an emergency situation, and it was a feel-good factor that he came in, and he provided that for the next 3 months. And then Ed Woodward got very excited after that PSG game, as did Gary Neville, as did Rio Ferdinand, as did most of the internet, and there was a contract given to Solskjaer. And as soon as that happened, the players appeared to down to them. There was the 4-0 demolition away to Everton.
Yeah, but they recovered from then. Okay, so we understand
they've
that
recovered.
There has been,
yeah, they've
has
recovered,
been...
and he has brought it on.
Can I draw an analogy with the start of the Ferguson era, where it was a manager who came in and inherited a dressing room that wasn't his, in a league that was as competitive and inconsistent as the league is currently. There was a great standout side. And there was another good side that kind of ran them close, which is kind of the situation that we have at the moment. And it took him a good 4.5-5 years to get to the point where the team played consistently and competed for championships. And they lost a couple of championships before that. Like, the Manchester United decided that they were going to go for a manager who was of the club, right? That was they chose this very anachronistic, old school, not modern football idea of bringing somebody in and saying, okay, actually, we want somebody who is one of us to lead us. It's a decision, right? That's the thing. But it's not going to be a straight line because you don't get the best candidate. What you do get, though, is somebody who is entirely committed to this and who isn't going to go ahead for the next 18 months desperately trying to get his next job or undermining the way that the club is being run from the top to the bottom because he is of them. In the same way that Ferguson, by the way, completely supported everything the Glazers did publicly. So I think that it's fair to draw some analogies with the early Ferguson years. That worked out okay. I'm not saying that Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is going to be Alex Ferguson, but yeah. Alex Ferguson would have been sacked by now if the Man United fans had their way on social media. He would have been gone. But actually, the club decided, no, we're going to ride this out and we're going to learn from the mistakes and we're going to give you the opportunities, and that's what's happening.
Yeah, but look at what Alex Ferguson did at Aberdeen before that. I mean, that's why the club backed him. He said, OK, this guy has a proven track record. And you're right. You're absolutely right. He would not have got as long as he did nowadays. There's no question about that. It took him 5 years to get going properly at United. There's no chance he would get that time now. But at least he had the backbone of the Aberdeen experience. Solskjaer has very limited experience, and he's done very well with that limited experience. But there's a monumental leap from the Man United reserves and Molde to manager of Manchester United for 2 years.
And that's why the inconsistency is there.
If Solskjaer survives to this summer and beyond, which he probably will, he'll be the longest-serving United manager since Ferguson. And bear in mind, there's been four managers since, if you count Ryan Giggs' small tenure in 2013-14. So they're backing him completely. But United are doing well at the moment in spite of the running of the club, the lack of director of football, an incredibly inexperienced manager whose greatest asset in the job is that he absolutely adores the club and will do anything for it. But Mauricio Pochettino has proven that he is loyalty too. He's only in his fourth manager's job now, I think. Is it Espanyol, Southampton, Spurs and PSG. So he stays quite a long time at those clubs. So Mauricio Pochettino is not going to go to Man United with the view of going somewhere else very quickly. He'll probably stay there for a few years. And in modern football, you're looking to 3 to 5 years is a very long tenure. They'd be more than happy with that. With Solskjaer, I was saying to Owen yesterday, actually, when we were texting about this, I do believe that Solskjaer will be Man United manager more than once in his managerial career. And I think he will end up being what Gus Hiddink was to Chelsea, and will keep him going back to Solskjaer in times of crisis. But like, it's just so early in his career that he has this job for this long. And if United don't win the Premier League or Champions League under this regime and Solskjaer leaves, we'll know why. I mean, it was screaming at us every single day as we woke up that this is not right yet. I think Solskjaer should definitely remain at the club if he wanted to. He could have any role he wanted to. He could be in the first team managing squad. He's not going to do that now after being the manager.
No.
And that's a shame. Because he could have become brilliant. And he might become brilliant. And he is a good coach. But it's not fair to him.
So this isn't just about Solskjaer. This is about Pochettino and regretting Pochettino. Yeah. So you brought up the fact that Pochettino is in his fourth job. And you're painting him as this some sort of wise old owl who would replace the novice Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. Solskjaer's in his fourth gig as well, if you give two for Molde, two different spells, Cardiff City in between, and Manchester United is his fourth. He's 1 year younger than Pochettino. Pochettino has won exactly how many trophies compared to Ole Gunnar Solskjaer? You're not exactly comparing this great, all-time, gilded manager with Solskjaer here. There is still a little bit of risk. And I accept being devil's advocate here a little bit, because what he did to get Spurs in a Champions League final was astonishing. But if you look at his Premier League record, this came out after he got sacked. His win percentage in the Premier League with Spurs was 56%. Andre Villas-Boas, for example, had 54%. So only 2% better than Villas-Boas. He had a worse win percentage than Tim Sherwood as his time as Spurs manager. In his away matches against the rest of the top six, he played 27 times against them, and they only managed to secure 3 wins. That's akin to the Arsenal struggles that they've had against the rest of the top six away from home in recent years as well. I'm just saying that there's a little bit of risk to the Pochettino appointment, as much as that Champions League run was brilliant.
Pochettino's not God.
I never said that he was. I never said that he was God.
You're trying to put on the agenda that they're going to regret the fact that they didn't get Pochettino.
Yeah, but like this is not a black and white argument. This is nuanced. I'm not saying Pochettino is perfect, and I'm not saying it doesn't come without risk. He hasn't won a trophy. I'm saying I think, my opinion is that he's the perfect man for the job from what I see that he did at Southampton first and then Spurs.
All right.
He did with that Spurs. He developed. I know we have to go, but that's what I'm saying. I'm not saying he's perfect. I'm saying we missed our chance. We missed the boat.
All
he's
right.
gone now.
That's this week's first episode of AM Agenda. We'll see if it lives to fight another day. 0879-180-180 is the number. If you want to put something on the agenda, text us and we'll have that debate for you next week.
The OTB Podcast Network, with Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural, protein-powered chicken bites.